This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome into the 4 o'clock hour. Gwynn and Chris Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park getting ready to call tonight's game. The Padres will take on the Seattle Mariners in a spring training affair. First appearance for the Padres this year at Petco Park. 6:40 is the first pitch if you want to head down and see a little baseball in the gas lamp. We will carry the game. If you don't want to head down there and you want to just listen and relax at home and enjoy the call of Jesse and Tony, 6:40 tonight, following the Scraby Chronicles. Scraby, we got a Christopher at the Fans coming up here.
We sure do.
Got a couple of quick trivia notes for you.
Oh, okay.
From the NCAA tournament, this courtesy of NCAA.com.
Oh.
There is six previous national champions still playing in the tournament.
Okay.
Arizona's won it before.
Duke.
Duke. UConn, of course.
Yeah.
North Carolina has won it before.
Yeah.
As has North Carolina State.
Uh-huh.
And Marquette.
Marquette won it?
Yeah. Way back when. Al McGuire was the coach of the famous Marquette team.
All right.
1977, Marquette.
1977, okay.
Yes, they beat North Carolina in the final.
That's the reason I don't know, because it was,
before Scraby.
Yeah.
There are six teams that are still in the tournament that have been to the Final Four that have never won at all.
San Diego State.
San Diego State is one of those. There are four teams left in the tournament who've never been to a Final Four.
Wow, that's fun.
Alabama, never been there. Clemson, never been there, although Lori picked them, so they're riding the magic train.
Oh, I love it.
The other two that haven't never been to a Final Four, Creighton and Tennessee, who play each other in the Sweet 16. So one of those teams might be able to get to a Final Four for the very first time. There's only one team. This is pretty good. One team from the final AP top 10 this year that's not still alive.
Mm.
So that means nine of the top 10 teams in basketball are still in the tournament.
That's pretty good.
There's only one top 10 team that did not make the Sweet 16. That team is Auburn.
Ah,
sorry okay. about that, Auburn. And I said it the other day when they were about to lose to Yale. I said, I'm not proud. If the Aztecs get to the Sweet 16, if they have to beat, you know, Cuyamaca College, doesn't matter to me as long as they get to the Sweet 16.
Cuyamaca College. That was funny.
Surprise run made by Cuyamaca College.
All right.
No, I just, it doesn't matter. You know, Gonzaga's been to nine straight Sweet 16s. That's pretty good.
That is really good. I saw that the UConn women are playing for their 30th Sweet 16 in a row.
Wow. 30?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
And then on the other side, it's Syracuse playing for first appearance since 2016.
Yeah.
It's like
30 in a row for you.
I know.
UConn women.
I know.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
All right. Let's get to some real questions and answers. Today's Chris vs. the Fans is upon us.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. You are playing for a couple things today. A qualification is first for the grand prize, a two-night stay at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, and dinner for two. Immerse yourself in timeless elegance at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, a luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau, Las Vegas is built upon more than 70 years of sublime beauty, unparalleled service, and timeless design. Book now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Also, If you win today, you will win a four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 23rd McGuire's Del Mar Nationals April 5th through 7th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Purchase tickets or register your vehicle at good-guys.com.
One last thing.
Yes.
UConn is the first team in 8 years to win the title 1 year and make it as far as the Sweet 16 the next year.
Really?
That's pretty weird.
That is weird.
All of the previous six champions.
I wonder how many of those. Yeah, seriously.
Not able to get to the Sweet 16 the following season.
Wow. That is interesting.
So there's that.
All right, let's get to our first contestant for today. Oh, if you're. I didn't do the rules yet.
Oh, please do.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question, and you will get that question for free today. Now, let's go to our first contestant, Steve, in San Diego. Steve, hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hey,
pretty
Steve.
Good. You ready to go, Steve?
Yes.
He's
all
ready.
Right.
Here we go.
Sounds like.
Which baseball player was nicknamed Jolton Joe?
Jolton Joe.
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio.
Nice job.
That's him.
I guess still can't believe that hit record I was looking at over the weekend. That's pretty incredible.
56 in a row.
That's pretty incredible.
Not only that, he went 0-4, then he reeled off 17 more in a row after that.
So he could have had, wow. Wow. All right.
He had 73 out of 74.
That's not bad.
Turned out.
Not
yeah,
bad.
Not bad at all.
All right, here we go. Second
not
question,
shabby.
Steve. Who was the last Padre to hit three home runs in a game?
Could be anybody.
Was it Cronenworth?
Cronenworth.
Cronezone.
No,
it's not the Cronezone.
I don't know that he's ever hit three. He's definitely hit two, but I don't know about three.
I know that that crazy third baseman from several years ago, was it Carlos Villanueva? Christian Villanueva.
I was there, actually.
Were you there for that?
Yes, and then he got traded to Japan the next offseason.
They
poor guy.
Shipped him out overseas.
Yeah.
But I think somebody's done it since. Three is a lot. I'll say Fernando. I'm not sure, though. Don't remember. Really?
Sorry, Steve.
Oh, I got lucky. I got really lucky. Sorry,
he
Steve.
He did it against the Diamondbacks either last year or 2 years ago. I think
I
it
got
was
really
2 years
lucky
ago.
On that one.
But he did it against
Diamondbacks.
He had a chance for four. And he
That's
was trying.
Right. He did. He have a chance
he
for four.
He was trying for
and
four.
I do remember that. He pulled a muscle trying to hit his fourth. Yeah.
He did.
I remember that now.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. Oh, you know who we haven't talked to in a long time? Gilberto.
Gilberto!
What's up, Gilberto?
Hola, muchacho.
Hola, ¿cómo están todos ustedes?
Oh,
todos
my goodness
ustedes.
Gracious.
You,
I don't know what you just
switched
said.
It up on me, yeah. But muy bien, muy bien.
Yes, I did.
Chris, let me tell you this. So I was sitting here after a show one day, and the Bart Winkler show comes on CBS Sports Radio.
The what show?
His name's Bart Winkler.
I like him. Who is Bart Winkler?
He's the night guy for CBS. I like him. I think he's good.
Okay, I'm glad you like him.
But I hear in the corner, like in the background, I hear, let's go out to Gilberto in San Diego.
Gilberto was on the Bart Winkler show?
He was on the...
Wow.
Yeah, so
and
Gilberto.
Now you're slumming with us, Gilberto. We appreciate it. Very nice.
I've been trying to get through the phone lines to you for the last 3 months.
Three months?
The first time for this year, guys. Yeah, you're always busy.
Well, hey, we're popular. You're going to have to settle for Bart Winkler.
Gilberto is royalty, okay?
Yes, he is. We like Gilberto.
All right, Gilberto, here we go. Question number one. What NBA team does Damian Lillard play for?
Hi, speaking of Bart Winkler, the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's true. Bart is a Milwaukee guy, Chris. He loves the NBA.
Bart
the NBA.
Winkler.
Yeah, I love Bart.
He's really on our station?
He is. He's great.
What time does he come on again?
Right after me, 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock. He won't be on for a while.
He won't be on tonight because there's Padre baseball.
But yeah, he's good stuff.
There's no way we can keep the Padres on.
No, not,
on hold
not,
and,
not for Bart Winkler.
Not
I'm
for
sorry.
Bart?
Not
Bart
for Bart
Winkler?
Why are you so concerned with his name?
I would like you to get me a guest spot on the Bart Winkler show.
I'll reach out as a good producer,
and he's got to talk San Diego sports once in a while. Maybe he'd like to have me on.
Very rarely.
Why not?
He's, he's a Brewers fan.
Yeah, he's a Brewers
so
fan.
What?
He's a Milwaukee guy. I could probably get
he's
him on this show.
It's a national show. He's got to talk about other things. Can't just talk about Milwaukee only.
No, he talks about national things, but it's usually more so not Padres baseball, which is really the only thing.
All right.
Jacob says it's a hell of a name.
He will talk Padres baseball because the Padres are going to make the playoffs and they're going to be a surprise. So he will talk about it.
Okay, good.
Adam Klug on the chat just said he's going to make it happen, Chris. So
yeah, get me on the Bart Winkler show talking Aztecs.
Will you please will you please act like you know who he is when you talk to him?
No, I'm going to get on there and start laughing at his name.
Oh, that's please don't ever do that in a million years.
All right, say that you Gilberto. Told me to do it.
Question number two. Through the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament this year, what team has scored the most points in a single game?
Ooh. Most points in a single game. Wow. Well, I have to go with Connecticut with the Huskies.
Connecticut. Stay there, Gilberto.
I think it's, we talked about our guy, Nate Oates. We'll say Alabama 109. I don't think anybody beat that yet. Ah,
sorry.
Gilberto.
Yeah.
Hey, Gilberto,
sorry,
someone on the chat said your name is Gilberto. Is that true?
Could be
yeah,
Gilberto.
We just say Gilberto.
Gilberto. Okay.
G-I-L-B-E-R-T-O.
Yeah. All right.
I do a Gilberto.
I'm
on
sorry.
There.
I'm calling you Gilberto.
You're Americanizing his name.
I know.
That's all.
Gilberto. Okay.
That's okay. You can
thank you very much, sir. I'll hope to
always
see you again.
Always good talking to you, Gilberto.
We'll see you this year.
Our guy.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Keep having a great show.
All right.
Thanks.
Bart Winkler. Can't believe he's slumming with Bart Winkler.
He's not slumming it with Bart Winkler.
No, he's on Bart Winkler before he left our show to go on Bart Winkler.
Okay.
Upset.
Okay. Shouldn't have brought it up, apparently. Mac in Allied Gardens. What's up, Mac?
Hey, Mac.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Oh, pretty good.
How about you, sir?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Here we go.
Let's play ball.
Question number one. What Padres player had four hits in Game 2 against the Dodgers? May have asked this last week.
Last week's game.
Yeah, last week's
not
game.
Not the playoffs. Yeah. Last week's game, too.
Cronenworth.
Nice job. Sloughed in there.
Nice job.
I think he said, Cronenworth.
Hey, it works. Maybe you should do that before each answer.
Very good, Mac. You're still alive.
Luck. Here we go. Question number two.
Yeah. I just remember.
Wait, what'd you say?
500 after that game.
Okay.
I just remember he was down 500 after his second game.
So there you go.
Oh,
you
got it. Hey, nice job. Nice job of deducing.
Yeah. Well deduced.
What team did both San Diego State and UConn beat this year in the regular season? That's still in the tournament, I should say.
Creighton.
Stay there, though. Chris, do you know?
Zags. Sorry.
Yes, it is correct.
Yeah, Connecticut beat Gonzaga,
Mac.
Too.
Yep.
But they didn't play them at the Gonzaga Arena. They played them in Seattle.
And a neutral floor. A neutral floor.
Yeah, so that's why the Aztecs are going to beat them Thursday, because of that.
All right. Totally.
That totally makes it. Yeah, it's the whole deal.
Charlie in La Mesa, you are up next. How are you, Charlie?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Good. Are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Question number one. This is kind of a math question. How many feet do you have to run when you hit a home run?
360 feet.
Uh-huh. Nice job.
Charlie was up to the task.
Nice job. That would have been tough for me. Here we go. Question number two. What team did Duquesne beat in the first round of the NCAA tournament last week?
Which made Chris very happy.
Is Charlie still there? You don't know?
I don't think you know. Either that or we lost him.
I'm having a hard time hearing it, Charlie. But Chris, so you already know this.
BYU.
You didn't need to say it like that. All right, let's go to our tiebreaker. Who do you want to go with?
Tiebreaker.
Wow. We are, because we have Big Five coming up.
Okay. Consistent callers there.
No, I'm saying who should we choose? Athlete.
Oh, our athlete. I'm saying we choose. Hang on. Give me like
what
one.
What about Lamont Butler?
Lamont Butler? What are you going to have on
see
him?
I his picture in the background.
I know, but what are you going to have? You're not going to have any career numbers.
I have his
numbers.
Career stats. What are you talking about?
Get Lamont Butler in there.
All right. Lamont Butler is the guy. All right. Let's get to our next contestant. Sorry about that, Charlie. Let's go to Michael in Lemon Grove. Michael, I know you know how to play the tiebreaker. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, Chris. How many three-pointers has Lamont Butler made in his career? These are regular season totals.
150.
150. Michael, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Aztecs can't shoot. I'm going to have to guess lower.
Lower. That's a good strategy because you win. Stay there. He made 104 in
his
career.
That's all?
That's it. 104 for 30. 322. It's 32%. 32% is a pretty good 3%, right?
It's not.
It needs
fabulous.
To be like 35 to 37.
Yeah, you don't want to be at least over 35.
All right.
But he's been going good lately. All right, yes. Very good. Michael, stay on the line. You've qualified for a trip to Las Vegas. Hopefully you'll get that trip. We'll take a quick timeout. Shohei Ohtani spoke to the media today. He did not take any questions, but he did claim his innocence. We will tell you what he had to say when we come back after a check of traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Saying he's never bet on anything, Shohei Ohtani addressed the media today at Dodger Stadium. He held a news conference 5 days after his interpreter. Yeah, that's the word I was
Dang
looking
it,
for.
Dang it, I was going to do the thing you do to me where you just stare and
yeah,
wait.
Yeah, just wait, make me suffer. His interpreter was fired by the Dodgers in the wake of the inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers that were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. That particular bookmaking operation is under federal investigation.
Yes,
this is how it was all discovered in the first place. The Ohtani said, among other things, "I'm very saddened and shocked. Someone whom I trusted has done this." He said, "Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has been telling lies." And Ohtani went on to say, "I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. I've never gone through a bookmaker to bet on sports and was never asked to assist betting payment for anyone else." No questions were asked. So if you're wondering if there's any more details, no, there are no other details. That is what Ohtani said today.
Yeah. You said earlier that if you were him and you didn't do it, you'd be shouting from the rooftops.
I would. I would.
That you didn't do it.
But it sounds like he's a pretty solid denial.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's lying and they find out, it's going to look bad.
I think the problem is how the story came to be in the first place. We heard one thing. It immediately changed once it showed him in a bad light. And then all of a sudden we're supposed to believe this other thing.
Well, that's why questions would have been nice. Because if you don't have anything to hide, you take questions. Otherwise, we all just have more questions. The fact that you won't take questions makes us think of more questions.
Yeah, I get it, but that's a legal thing.
That's what they do. Dave Roberts, by the way, added to the situation today, saying it was the right thing to do. I'm happy he spoke and what he knows and gave his thoughts on the whole situation. I think it will give us all a little bit more clarity. Not really.
Nope.
Didn't give us a lot of clarity. It just gave us his version of what happened. And I hope for Shohei Ohtani's sake, that is the case. That's all I can say. I don't want to root for this guy to be taken down. I mean, I know he's a Dodger. I'm supposed to hate everything blue, but
It's bad for baseball.
You need superstars in this sport. I don't want to see something like this happen to him.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you, and this is a serious question, do you think that this stuff is going to maybe follow him around this year to the point where it affects his play on the field?
I don't know. Let's get into that in the Big Five.
Oh, yes. That's right. We do have the Big Five. Well, it's not right now. It's in a little bit, Chris.
It's in like 3 minutes.
More than 3 minutes, but should we just go to break?
If you want.
Okay. We'll go
I don't know, whatever you put in the Big Five, you ought to add an Ohtani question.
Okay.
I'll address it then.
All right. Talk to you in a little bit.
That takes the center stage tonight in the NCAA tournament. Second round action. UConn leads Syracuse. 53-44. They're going to the fourth quarter there. Earlier today, North Carolina State knocked off Tennessee. Notre Dame advanced over Mississippi. Old Miss.
Ole.
In the first round of the women's tournament, by the way, in the, how many games are in the first round? 32, I guess, 64 teams. Out of those 32 games, the better seeded team won 31.
Women's basketball is a whole different sport in that regard.
Well, the reason it's a little different come this time of year is because the first two rounds are played on the home floor of the highest seed in that group.
Doesn't seem fair, but okay.
It doesn't seem fair, but they got to get some attendance. They don't want to send the games to the middle of nowhere and have nobody show up to watch them.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, you get UConn, like, their first two games are actually played on their home floor. That certainly gives them a major advantage, and that's why you see the higher-seeded teams winning more often, at least earlier in the tournament. But I'll say this, women's college basketball is a whole lot more deep than it used to be. It used to be pretty much UConn just won the championship, and there's maybe one team that could beat them. Now, there's 10 teams that could win the women's championship. That's good for the sport. And we've talked about it all year. Women's college basketball, as good as it's ever been, if not better. All right, let's get to today's
If you're watching the camera, you know what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing.
But I'm doing this like no traffic.
No traffic, he says. Yes. Well, we did have Tony, and we had to record the Big Five ahead of time because he is just locked down over there at Petco Park tonight doing all kinds of things along with getting ready for the game. But there's other events that he's got to attend to. It's the first home game at Petco. So we taped this early. He sounds a little like he's on the phone. So just so you're aware.
Yeah. We did our best.
It's still a Big Five, baby.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one. The only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The week of the home opener. I can't even say opening day because it's not opening day, Chris. It's just a home opener. But Big Five is going to be great this week. And today, we especially have a great one because we have news of a wide receiver that is being courted by the Miami Dolphins. And I cannot wait to get Chris's reaction on this whole thing. So, you ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
All right. Not really running the board great right now, but we'll power through. So, you know how I love power rankings, and I love baseball power rankings. Well, our guy, Matt Snyder, does the CBS Sports power rankings, and he has, right now, the Padres at number 14 in the power rankings. They actually moved down one spot after getting a win last week, but I don't really know that they're the 14th best team in baseball. Chris, where do you think the Padres should be ranked? And I know you're going to tell me you don't know, but give me a number.
Well, here's the funny thing is if they would have lost the second game of that Dodger series, you'd probably think they should be 19th. And if they'd won both games, you'd probably think they should be 9th.
Good points.
And so you're putting a little bit too much weight into just two games. I think 14th is about where they should be. What were they last year? About the 18th or 19th best team in baseball? They just lost three of the best players on the planet in Juan Soto, Josh Hader, and Blake Snell. That, on the surface, doesn't make it appear like they've improved any. I think 14 is actually a high rating. They still have a lot of proving to do. I know everybody feels so much better because they won the one game and they scored 15 runs, and they're not going to score 15 runs every game. So, you know, let's see them, you know, be consistent, come out and win some games in April. And some of these young guys prove over a longer period of time that they'll, you know, can do the job and be everyday players. And then let's see the back end of the starting rotation, which we haven't seen yet. Let's see that in action. There's a million things that have to be shown before I can rank them any higher than 14th. I think this is a pretty fair ranking.
You've convinced me, Chris. It is a fair ranking. Tony, what do you think?
Man, I don't know if I need to say anything. Chris was is spot on in everything he said. I think if I'm not mistaken, they were like 18 at the start before they had played a game in terms of power rankings.
And, yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so to move up to 14, I think that's a fair assessment. I think Chris is absolutely right. This team has a ton to prove. Although I thought they did it well, situational baseball in the first two games. They got to prove it over a long stretch of time. It's just like as exciting as it was to see them execute in spring training. None of that matters, right? You did it in spring training. It's good. Great. You've shown that you guys are working on it. But you have to actually do it when the lights are on. And so I thought they did it pretty well through the first two games. But, again, that's just two games. This is 160 more to go. So, yeah, they got a lot more proving to do. I think 14 is fair.
Number four.
You guys both make great points there. Thank you for putting me in my place.
Where did you think they should be? Like 11th, 10th?
No. Now that I really think about it, I know. It was me going, I think 14th is probably about right.
I mean, you're already convinced that Jax, you like everybody else, is convinced that Jackson Merrill can definitely do the job. Now, I believe he can do the job, but I mean, I can't give him a passing grade based on two hits in the first two games.
I've also been the guy to say that fans need to stick by him when he does struggle this year.
Sure.
Because he will struggle.
Sure he will.
Okay.
Well, everybody struggles. I mean,
yes, they
even
do.
Manny struggles.
Yes.
Fernando and
not in game two. Manny with the laser. All right.
Well, he struggled up until then.
Okay, let's just move on. The Miami Dolphins made a contract offer to wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. last week, Coach Mike McDaniel said to league meetings in Florida. Beckham visited the Dolphins last week but left without signing the contract, and McDaniel said things went great with him. We didn't make him an offer, and business takes time, especially with players such as Odell, who's had a phenomenal career, still has really good football in front of him, and has options. So I think those conversations will be ongoing. We'll see where they go. Tony, what kind of player is Odell Beckham Jr. at this point?
Oh, I think he actually is the type of player that would fit Miami really well, because he doesn't have to be not even the first or second option. He could be the third option, perhaps even the fourth. And if you go back to some of the successes he had prior to getting to Baltimore, he didn't have to be the guy. And I think, you know, he's had, two ACLs, maybe even three at this point. And I think last year it kind of showed a little bit in terms of him having to be the lead guy. And so I think he would actually fit Miami really well. The one thing, you know, for all of the talk about Odell and, you know, his constant change of scenery, his nomad-like ways, if you will. He seems to be well-regarded in terms of the locker room everywhere he goes. And so I think putting him in that locker room, him not having to be the first or second option, and I think, honestly, not costing a team that much. I think that's why he's a good fit for the Miami Dolphins. I think he's a guy who is third on their depth chart for most teams at this point.
All right, Chris, our resident Dolphin fan, what kind of player is OBJ at this point?
I don't know what kind of player he is at this point, but I'm going to say what you want to say. I'm going to say what you asked the question for.
No, I just said what kind of player is OBJ at this
point? Here's my answer.
Okay.
Don't waste your money on Odell Beckham Jr. This team has so many holes, and they have way more holes now that free agency has robbed them of three or four all-pro players on defense. They need a cornerback. They need a linebacker. They need a defensive tackle. They need edge rushers. They always need offensive line. Their offensive line continues to be weak on a team where you've got all of these skilled players, but you don't ever need anybody to protect them. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to probably cost very much. It's not going to change the makeup of everything. But I see Odell Beckham Jr. being a guy who catches one touchdown all season, maybe 10 passes, and a big fat waste of time.
All right. Thank you for that, Chris.
You're welcome, Scraby. I know that's why you asked the question.
I actually didn't, but
that's it. Don't kid yourself. That's what you wanted to hear.
Number three.
All right. NFL owners have approved a rule proposal to actually, we talked about this last week, but they have done it, ban the hip drop tackle, the league announced today. The violation will result in a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games, but Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, implied last week that it is likely to be enforced similarly to the use of helmet rule, which typically leads to warning letters and fines in the week after a game rather than flags during a play. The proposal was written to address only a subset of the rugby-style tackling that has spread around the NFL in recent years. That's what Competition Committee Chairman Rich McKay said last week. So, Chris, do you think this was a rule that was needed?
No. Me personally, no. I'm tired of the NFL prohibiting things that are dangerous. I like danger. That's one of the reasons that I tune in on Sundays and Mondays for the danger. I don't mind a guy getting hit upside the head. I don't even mind seeing highlights of the old days when you could horse collar tackle and when you could take a guy's head off when he came across the middle. I think that's part of what made football great. However, that is just me. That is just me being a greedy viewer. The NFL needs to protect its players because these guys are hitting harder, they're bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been before. And too many guys are getting hurt on this hip drop tackle. I mean, it's clear. I mean, just like too many guys were getting concussions coming across the middle, so they had to outlaw it. Never mind that I enjoyed it. They still needed to outlaw it to protect these guys because everybody's too big, strong, and fast. So, yes, to answer your question,
all right,
they absolutely have to do it, just like they have to protect the quarterbacks to keep them safe. But ultimately, I think Terry Bradshaw and those guys played in a little tougher league, you know, when they had to take hits, but they weren't taking hits from guys that were this athletic and big.
Yeah, seriously.
So,
all right, Tony, do you think this rule was needed?
Yes, I do. I like danger too, but I don't like danger, you know, unnecessary danger. I mean, I think of Tyreek Hill. He suffered an ankle injury during the playoffs because of this hip drop type tackle. And so I think, like Chris said, I think we all, as viewers, enjoy the danger. That's part of the reason we watch. But we don't want to see guys unnecessarily taking injuries that just didn't have to happen.
Definitely. All right, let's get to the next.
Number two.
Now, the Pirates have been answering questions about Domingo Germán and his exit from the New York Yankees. Reportedly last year, late in the season, he came into the clubhouse. He was intoxicated, he was angry, and he started to destroy things. The Yankees actually said that they would pay him the rest of his money for the season if he was to go to an inpatient rehab center. And he did. But now he says the Pirates signed him, said they did their due diligence on his background, and he said that he actually doesn't have a problem and he still is drinking, so that makes some people a little concerned. But, Tony, do you think Major League Baseball is set up for its players to get help with substance abuse?
Oh, without a doubt. But I think you probably can speak to this better than anybody. You have to actually want help in order to get the help that is necessary. And, you know, and at least in my experience, knowing people who had drinking issues, it's not a part-time deal, right? Like, you can't just show up,
after taking a couple of months off and, you know, continue yourself to be sober. It doesn't work that way. And so I'm concerned, as I'm sure a lot of people are listening to the comments from Domingo Herman. I mean, this is just not something that you can take lightly. And it seems like, despite the help he's received, he hasn't fully accepted his circumstances, meaning that, you know, I don't say this lightly, but, you know, you have an issue like this, you might be an alcoholic. And also, I you just hope that he can come to some type of realization and get the help he needs.
Yes, that's good points. Good points. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I just want to address the Pirates' comments.
Okay.
Seems like the Pirates' research went as far as them looking at their starting rotation and realizing that they only had three or four quality guys. And so they decided, you know, we better sign Domingo Herman. I mean, that to me sounds like the research that the Pirates did. And so for that reason, you know, I expect the Pirates to have to probably deal with a situation eventually here down the line. Let's hope not. But Scraby has taught us enough to know that if you have problems controlling your drinking and you're still drinking and saying that you've got it all under control, the chances are that eventually you're not going to have it under control.
Yeah.
And so you know what? The Pirates are going to get what they deserve here, which is a problem area.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I hope the problem surfaces sooner rather than later, so that Domingo Herman will be forced to confront his demons,
yeah,
and do something about them. You know, if he goes 6 or 7 months without having any episodic behavior, he might really truly believe that he has this whole thing under control. I mean, that's just my guess. So, but I'm just, you know, teams, it seems like the Pirates are enabling a lot here.
Yeah.
So they may have to pay the price, and they may, you know, they may second guess what they did down the road.
Possibly. I think it's telling to me that when he said he went to rehab was just to get his paycheck. And so he had to go through the whole inpatient thing and to get his paycheck for the rest of the season, which, you know, I'm not going to say that he's an alcoholic because I don't know him, but
it certainly
sounds like there's some problems.
But if he's had alcohol-related blow-ups in the past,
yeah,
it's likely he'll have them in the future.
Yeah.
And as Tony said correctly, he can go to rehab, and anybody can go to rehab if the rehab's not going to help.
Yeah, very true. All right, quickly.
Number one.
The last one, and it's there's a woman named Vicky Ray, who is actually one of the most recognizable Nuggets fans out there. She's had season tickets for over 25 years, and she has also had tickets that were near the tunnel where the players and referees come out.
Okay.
So sometimes she hands players cookies and candy and everything.
Isn't that nice?
And Vicky Ray knows.
Why do I have a feeling this isn't going to end nice?
It's Vicky Ray is all good.
Okay.
Apparently, recently, the team has come to her and kicked her out of her seats because apparently players say they don't like her and that she's been grabbing them and, like, doing things, like, that upset them, also referees and all this other stuff.
Okay.
She's never had a complaint in the 25 years she's ever had a ticket, but all of a sudden it's a big deal. She says the Nuggets just want to do this so they can sell her seats for more money because she's paying a grandfathered-in price. I think, Chris, you're up first. What do you think? Do you think the Nuggets are kicking her out for more money?
Vicky.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one. The only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The week of the home opener. I can't even say opening day because it's not opening day, Chris. It's just a home opener. But Big Five is going to be great this week. And today, we especially have a great one because we have news of a wide receiver that is being courted by the Miami Dolphins. And I cannot wait to get Chris's reaction on this whole thing. So, you ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
All right. Not really running the board great right now, but we'll power through. So, you know how I love power rankings, and I love baseball power rankings. Well, our guy, Matt Snyder, does the CBS Sports power rankings, and he has, right now, the Padres at number 14 in the power rankings. They actually moved down one spot after getting a win last week, but I don't really know that they're the 14th best team in baseball. Chris, where do you think the Padres should be ranked? And I know you're going to tell me you don't know, but give me a number.
Well, here's the funny thing is if they would have lost the second game of that Dodger series, you'd probably think they should be 19th. And if they'd won both games, you'd probably think they should be 9th.
Good points.
And so you're putting a little bit too much weight into just two games. I think 14th is about where they should be. What were they last year? About the 18th or 19th best team in baseball? They just lost three of the best players on the planet in Juan Soto, Josh Hader, and Blake Snell. That, on the surface, doesn't make it appear like they've improved any. I think 14 is actually a high rating. They still have a lot of proving to do. I know everybody feels so much better because they won the one game and they scored 15 runs, and they're not going to score 15 runs every game. So, you know, let's see them, you know, be consistent, come out and win some games in April. And some of these young guys prove over a longer period of time that they'll, you know, can do the job and be everyday players. And then let's see the back end of the starting rotation, which we haven't seen yet. Let's see that in action. There's a million things that have to be shown before I can rank them any higher than 14th. I think this is a pretty fair ranking.
You've convinced me, Chris. It is a fair ranking. Tony, what do you think?
Man, I don't know if I need to say anything. Chris is spot on in everything he said. I think if I'm not mistaken, they were like 18 at the start before they had played a game in terms of power rankings.
And, yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so to move up to 14, I think that's a fair assessment. I think Chris is absolutely right. This team has a ton to prove. Although I thought they did it well, situational baseball in the first two games, they got to prove it over a long stretch of time. It's just like as exciting as it was to see them execute in spring training. None of that matters, right? You did it in spring training. It's good. Great. You've shown that you guys are working on it. But you have to actually do it when the lights are on. And so I thought they did it pretty well through the first two games. But again, that's just two games. This is 160 more to go. So, yeah, they got a lot more proving to do. I think 14 is fair.
Number four.
You guys both make great points there. Thank you for putting me in my place.
Where did you think they should be? Like 11th? 10th?
No. Now that I really think about it, I know. It was me going,
Yeah,
I think 14th is probably about right.
I mean, you're already convinced that you like everybody else, is convinced that Jackson Merrill can definitely do the job. Now, I believe he can do the job, but I mean, I can't give him a passing grade based on two hits in the first two games.
I've also been the guy to say that fans need to stick by him when he does struggle this year.
Sure.
Because he will struggle.
Sure he will.
Okay.
Well, everybody struggles. I mean,
yes, they
even
do.
Manny. Struggles.
Yes.
Fernando and
not in game two. Manny with the laser. All right.
Well, he struggled up until then.
Okay. Let's just move on. The Miami Dolphins made a contract offer to wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. last week, Coach Mike McDaniel said to league meetings in Florida. Beckham visited the Dolphins last week but left without signing the contract, and McDaniel said things went great with him. We didn't make him an offer, and business takes time, especially with players such as Odell, who's had a phenomenal career, still has really good football in front of him, and has options. So I think those conversations will be ongoing. We'll see where they go. Tony, what kind of player is Odell Beckham Jr. at this point?
Oh, I think he actually is the type of player that would fit Miami really well, because he doesn't have to be not even the first or second option. He could be the third option, perhaps even the fourth. And if you go back to some of the successes he had prior to getting to Baltimore, he didn't have to be the guy. And I think, you know, he's had, two ACLs, maybe even three at this point. And I think last year it kind of showed a little bit in terms of him having to be the lead guy. And so I think he would actually fit Miami really well. The one thing, you know, for all of the talk about Odell, you know, his constant change of scenery, his nomad-like ways, if you will. He seems to be well regarded in terms of the locker room everywhere he goes. And so I think putting him in that locker room, him not having to be the first or second option, and I think honestly not costing a team that much, I think ultimately I think that's why he's a good fit for the Miami Dolphins. I think he's a guy who is third on their depth chart for most teams at this point.
All right, Chris, our resident Dolphin fan. What kind of player is OBJ at this point?
I don't know what kind of player he is at this point, but I'm going to say what you want to say. I'm going to say what you asked the question for.
No, I just said what kind of player is OBJ at this
point? Here's my answer.
Okay.
Don't waste your money on Odell Beckham Jr. This team has so many holes, and they have way more holes now that free agency has robbed them of three or four all-pro players on defense. They need a cornerback. They need a linebacker. They need a defensive tackle. They need edge rushers. They always need offensive line. Their offensive line continues to be weak on a team where you've got all of these skilled players, but you don't ever need anybody to protect them. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to probably cost very much. It's not going to change the makeup of everything. But I see Odell Beckham Jr. being a guy who catches one touchdown all season, maybe 10 passes, and a big fat waste of time.
All right. Thank you for that, Chris.
You're welcome, Scraby. I know that's why you asked the question.
I actually didn't, but
that's it. Don't kid yourself. That's what you wanted to hear.
Number three.
All right. NFL owners have approved a rule proposal to actually, we talked about this last week, but they have done it, ban the hip drop tackle, the league announced today. The violation will result in a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games, but Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, implied last week that it is likely to be enforced similarly to the use of helmet rule, which typically leads to warning letters and fines in the week after a game rather than flags during a play. The proposal was written to address only a subset of the rugby-style tackling that has spread around the NFL in recent years. That's what Competition Committee Chairman Rich McKay said last week. So, Chris, do you think this was a rule that was needed?
No. Me personally, no. I'm tired of the NFL prohibiting things that are dangerous. I like danger. That's one of the reasons that I tune in on Sundays and Mondays for the danger. I don't mind a guy getting hit upside the head. I don't even mind seeing highlights of the old days when you could horse collar tackle and when you could take a guy's head off when he came across the middle. I think that's part of what made football great. However, that is just me. That is just me being a greedy viewer. The NFL needs to protect its players because these guys are hitting harder. They're bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been before. And too many guys are getting hurt on this hip drop tackle. I mean, it's clear. I mean, just like too many guys were getting concussions coming across the middle, so they had to outlaw it. Never mind that I enjoyed it. They still needed to outlaw it to protect these guys because everybody's too big, strong, and fast. So, yes, to answer your question,
all right,
they absolutely have to do it, just like they have to protect the quarterbacks to keep them safe. But ultimately, I think Terry Bradshaw and those guys played in a little tougher league, you know, when they had to take hits, but they weren't taking hits from guys that were this athletic and big.
Yeah, seriously.
So,
all right, Tony, do you think this rule is needed?
Yes, I do. I like danger too, but I don't like danger, you know, unnecessary danger. I mean, I think of Tyreek Hill. He suffered an ankle injury during the playoffs because of this hip drop type tackle. And so I think, Chris said, I think we all, as viewers, enjoy the danger. That's part of the reason we watch. But we don't want to see guys unnecessarily taking injuries that just didn't have to happen.
Definitely. All right. Let's get to the next.
Number two.
Now, the Pirates have been answering questions about Domingo Germán and his exit from the New York Yankees. Reportedly last year, late in the season, he came into the clubhouse. He was intoxicated. He was angry, and he started to destroy things. The Yankees actually said that they would pay him the rest of his money for the season if he was to go to an inpatient rehab center. And he did. But now he says the Pirates signed him, said they did their due diligence on his background, and he said that he actually doesn't have a problem and he still is drinking, so that makes some people a little concerned. But, Tony, do you think Major League Baseball is set up for its players to get help with substance abuse?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I think you probably can speak to this better than anybody. You have to actually want help in order to get the help that is necessary. And, you know, and at least in my experience, knowing people who had drinking issues, it's not a part-time deal, right? Like, you can't just show up after taking a couple of months off and, you know, continue yourself to be sober. It doesn't work that way. And so I'm concerned, as I'm sure a lot of people are listening to the comments from Domingo Germán. I mean, this is just not something that you can take lightly. And it seems like, despite the help he's received, he hasn't fully accepted his circumstances, meaning that, you know, I don't say this lightly, but, you know, you have an issue like that, you might be an alcoholic. And also, I you just hope that he can come to some type of realization and get the help he needs.
Yes, that's good points. Good points. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I just want to address the Pirates' comments.
Okay.
Seems like the Pirates' research went as far as them looking at their starting rotation and realizing that they only had three or four quality guys. And so they decided, you know, we better sign Domingo Germán. I mean, that to me sounds like the research that the Pirates did. And so for that reason, you know, I expect the Pirates to have to probably deal with a situation eventually here down the line.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. But Scraby has taught us enough to know that if you have problems controlling your drinking and you're still drinking and saying that you've got it all under control, the chances are that eventually you're not going to have it under control.
Yeah.
And so you know what? The Pirates are going to get what they deserve here, which is a problem area.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I hope the problem surfaces sooner rather than later so that Domingo Germán will be forced to confront his demons,
yeah,
and do something about them. You know, if he goes 6 or 7 months without having any episodic behavior, he might really truly believe that he has this whole thing under control. I mean, that's just my guess. So, but I'm just, you know, teams, it seems like the Pirates are enabling a lot here.
Yeah.
So they may have to pay the price, and they may, you know, they may second guess what they did down the road.
Possibly. I think it's telling to me that when he said he went to rehab was just to get his paycheck. And so he had to go through the whole inpatient thing and to get his paycheck for the rest of the season, which, you know, I'm not going to say that he's an alcoholic because I don't know him, but certainly sounds like there's some problems.
But if he's had alcohol-related blow-ups in the past,
yeah,
it's likely he'll have them in the future.
Yeah.
And as Tony said correctly, he can go to rehab, and anybody can go to rehab if the rehab's not going to help.
Yeah, very true. All right, quickly.
Number one.
The last one, and it's there's a woman named Vicky Ray, who is actually one of the most recognizable Nuggets fans out there. She's had season tickets for over 25 years, and she has also had tickets that were near the tunnel where the players and referees come out.
Okay.
So sometimes she hands players cookies and candy and everything.
Isn't that nice?
And Vicky Ray knows.
Why do I have a feeling this isn't going to end nice?
It's Vicky Ray is all good.
Okay.
Apparently, recently, the team has come to her and kicked her out of her seats because apparently players say they don't like her and that she's been grabbing them and, like, doing things, like, that upset them, also referees and all this other stuff. Okay. She's never had a complaint in the 25 years she's ever had a ticket, but all of a sudden it's a big deal. She says the Nuggets just want to do this so they can sell her seats for more money because she's paying a grandfathered-in price. I think, Chris, you're up first. What do you think? Do you think the Nuggets are kicking her out for more money?
Vicky Ray. I don't know. I mean, not that this should matter, but do we kind of know, how old Vicky is?
72.
She's 72.
72.
What in the world can a 72-year-old woman be doing that is causing the players and referees so much pain and discomfort, I wonder?
Yes, yes.
Sounds like the Nuggets are trying to kick her out so they can get more
sell
money.
Sell floor seats after they win a championship.
Sell her seats for more money. It could be a money grab by the Nuggets. I just, look, if she's been beloved for 24 and a half years, and now she's 72 years old, I just find it amazing.
She's getting a little handsy.
That all of a sudden she's getting too grabby now at the age of 72. Nikola Jokic doesn't like his thighs being patted as he walks out onto the floor. I mean, what is she doing?
Nothing, Chris. The answer is nothing.
It's hard to believe she's doing anything.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Do you think they're trying to just get more money out of her or out of those seats?
First of all, it sucks that you guys have to plot me down because of just some feedback coming. Plus, I had a point I wanted to make, and I waited this time, and I forgot what it was. So, what were we talking about before this?
Vicky Ray.
No, before Vicky Ray. What was our last question?
Domingo Germán.
Did he really say that he was going to get his just so he get his paycheck? Did he say that? Those words?
Let me get the quote, and just so we have it 100% in correct.
That's how everybody's antenna should go up. If that's what he said. Like, yo.
I think that was a scraby comment.
No. You talk about Vicky Ray real quick, and then I'll get the quote.
All right, Vicky Ray. If you'd asked me, like, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, if this was a money grab, I'd 100% said for sure. But fan behavior, even for a 72-year-old at this point, you can't just gloss that over. I mean, fan behavior has become more and more ridiculous, it seems like, every year. And the fact that it's, if it would have just been the fact that Nuggets players, I could have maybe have been like, okay, yeah, maybe it's a money grab, grandfathered in. But referees, too, are complaining about it? I just can't fully say, nah, this is a money grab. Because of the unruly fan behavior we've seen over the past, like, 5 years, you can't put it out of the realm.
I got a comment on fan behavior and older fans like that. And this is how bad things have gotten just in our society in general. When we were in Las Vegas, the Aztec women playing the final game of the regular season, we were playing UNLV. It wasn't the tournament. One of the UNLV boosters came down to me and gave me a plate of cookies and said, hey, these are for the girls on your team. I always make a bunch of cookies for all the UNLV players, and I had some extra ones left over.
Can't take them.
So would you let me tell the story?
Sorry, yes.
Mr. Interrupter?
Yes, I will.
So I took a whole plate of cookies, and I brought them on the bus after the game. But I told our trainer and I told people where they'd come from, and they said, absolutely, we're not eating them. I mean, and we didn't. But my point is, isn't that terrible that some old lady was trying to be nice and give us cookies, but in this day and age, you can't trust what might be in those cookies? That's a shame just in and itself.
And just to back Chris's point on this, I mean, when I was still an athlete and I was playing for whatever team, that would happen a lot where an older lady would bring some type of treats. And to be honest, I think when we bring them into the club, I think everybody would take a double take, like, should we do this? We don't know this lady. We don't know where they're coming from. But we would all eat it at the end of the day, right? Now, 100% you have to second guess. Like, man, they got poison in it. And I think that's just where we are, unfortunately, that we all have to, like, take a second look at some sweet brownies or some cookies that have been handed to you. You just kind of have to, like, is it worth the deliciousness that these can have in?
Yeah. I might have to change my answer. We have to send Vicky Ray out to pasture.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. It may not be your fault, but send Vicky packing.
All right. Here's the Domingo Germán quote, guys. I went because the Yankees weren't going to pay me. I was told that I would be there for a month. My wife and family nudged me to go. They reminded me that I needed the money. My family told me, you're going to come out of here feeling better and you're going to save your salary. End quote.
See, that's the family knowing what's going to get them to go, and
good
also
point.
Looking out like, hey, you need to go, but we know you probably don't want to go, but you're not going to get paid unless you go. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. Very true. All
Domingo
right.
Germán is a problem waiting to happen.
This is yes. We'll talk about that later. I'm gonna get out of here. Big five over. When we get back, we'll update you on everything that's happened today. Lots going on in the sports world here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.